Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You're listening to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show. Here on AFR, I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim. You sounded almost like you didn't want to say that name.
Ed Vitagliano?
I'm with
Vitagliano
again.
I'm happy to have you here, Ed. I'm just kidding. And I'm happy to have Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
I've upped my excitement level here. Ed, I got the message yet. I need about having y'all on the show here today. Walker Wildman. Walker, what's happening with our Today's Issues Facebook page?
Yes, we're live streaming on Today's Issues Facebook page. We do that each Monday through Friday, the entire show, 10 to 11:30 Central. We live stream, so you can go there, watch the show, and listen. And you can also comment on the video feed, share your thoughts on the news stories. And lastly, on the Facebook page, we will be posting all of the original sources for all the news stories we talk about. So if you want to read further in detail on the news stories, you're welcome to do so.
Fred Jackson, news director for American Family Radio News and OneNewsNow.com. Good morning, Fred. And you've got some news out of New York to lead the show today?
Yes, sir. A suspect has been arrested in New York City. That city was put on alert this morning around 7:30 Central Time, somewhere in there. There were reports of a explosion near the Times Square area, near where the subways meet in that city. And what we know right now, that it was an attempted terrorist attack in that busy rush hour morning in New York City. The attempt did not go well. Praise the Lord for that. A man who has been identified as 27-year-old Ikeyed Ola, who apparently lives in Brooklyn. He had a suicide vest on, ready to explode that, probably kill a lot of people. The explosion did not occur the way he wanted. He ended up basically just injuring himself. He has been taken to hospital. But authorities there in New York are definitely saying this was an attempted terrorist attack. Ikeyed Ola, as I say, officials have said he lives in New York and may be of Bangladeshi
descent.
Is
he a Muslim?
I would look at that name and say that's probably a pretty good bet.
I mean, it's the same old thing here. Just a young Muslim male attacking people.
Yes.
So he can go to paradise.
Yes.
Okay.
And
all right.
Praise the Lord, it did not go well.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
It could have been absolutely horrific.
You know, you're right. Ed, you read where CNN said had it detonated correctly.
Yeah, if it had detonated correctly, the results could have been catastrophic.
That's what they said?
Because it was
CNN?
Because of the crowd, I'm sure, the time of day.
Yeah.
And but it did not go off as this man had designed it. The officials in New York are saying it was an effectively low-tech device. It was affixed to his person with Velcro and zip ties.
So he was from Brooklyn?
Officials said.
He lived in Brooklyn?
Lives in Brooklyn. Right.
We don't know anything more about him, like when he came to the U.S. or anything like that, right?
Not at this point. Learn.
They're saying from Bangladesh ascent.
Yes.
So from either his parents are from Bangladesh or he migrated from Bangladesh.
Yeah, we don't know if he was he may be an American citizen.
Right.
We don't know, but there's some connection to Bangladesh.
Yeah.
Immigrated or...
Yeah, and the Fox headline says Fox News is saying that he's ISIS, connected to ISIS. They're not just saying ISIS inspired, they're saying tied to ISIS.
Well, some of the initial reports said that's what he told the officials, that he was with the Islamic State. Now, we don't know that for sure. Sometimes these guys say that, but they're not, they're just saying it.
Or that just means they follow them. Doesn't necessarily
right.
mean they've been communicating with
That's
them.
That's right. So we have to be careful about that. But this comes just a few weeks after that horrible terrorist attack in New York City. where I believe it was 8 people visiting from Venezuela, that were in town, that a guy driving this rented U-Haul truck.
Was he a Muslim?
Yes, he was.
Mm-hmm. How old was he?
Most definitely. Young Muslim.
Same demographic?
Yes, yep. Sir. Yes, sir.
Well, am I the only one who...
No, this is a I don't know if you call it a trend.
But the media, the liberal media doesn't say anything about this. You give them one or two white skinheads, and they would run with that for a decade.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But this is the same demographic attacking innocent people over and over and over again, and people act like the liberal media goes, I just don't know what's behind this. There doesn't seem to be any kind of connection here to the...
Well, this is the same thing we've been dealing with since 9/11, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, we're talking 16 years.
Or before that, but I understand.
But, I mean, especially since 9/11 when it seemed like, well, even President Bush at the time wanted to make sure everyone understood that not all Muslims are terrorists, so that gets repeated.
Have we established that?
Well, not all Muslims are terrorists.
Yeah, I think it's good to say over and over again because it bears repeating.
I know this frustrates you because we'll say it sometimes on the air you'll say, do we have to say it again?
Yeah.
But everyone says it because, you know, we want to make sure that we're being fair. Mm-hmm. However, all the terrorists have been Muslims.
2 billion Muslims in the world. Even they admit 10% of the population are terrorists.
Are radicalized. Yeah.
Do the math on that. 200 million Islamic
are radical, well, radicalized.
Here's the thing that bothers me more than that, because is the lone wolf tag, which I'm already seeing right now.
Mm-hmm.
The lone wolf tag. How many terrorist attacks do we have before they're not lone wolves anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Just because 3 individuals don't blow up a train station at one specific time of the day does not mean they're lone wolves.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had the guy a month ago who drove the U-Haul into a crowd, and then this guy today, they're not lone wolves. They're just attacking separately.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an army is what it is.
Well, I think they use a lone wolf as opposed to a cell, an organized.
But they don't know that. They throw out lone wolf 5 minutes after the terrorist attack happens. Who knows if there's not another guy down the street about to blow himself up? And the reason they use lone wolf is not to be accurately describing the incident. They use that to calm everybody down.
Well, and here's the thing. I could accept the description of lone wolf if we had the guy, he was upset because he couldn't get a subway ticket. That's not why this man did this morning.
Strapped a bomb to himself?
Yeah. The reason this man did it, the reason we had the terrorist attack several weeks ago in New York, they are inspired by Islamic terrorism. They want to take over the world. Yeah. They hate the United States because the United States...
Don't forget the 70 virgins.
Yes.
Yeah.
And straight to heaven.
Yes.
Right.
And all of that. So they're inspired by their religion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's an ideology, and you're not... They're not lone wolves. There's a lot of them, and they're attacking all over the world.
I would say, to me, so what if they are a lone wolf? That's probably worse, because that means they're not tied to any Islamic terrorism network.
Which means they're only
motivated by their religious ideology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if they were part of a network that law enforcement might be more likely to be aware of them.
Mm-hmm.
We could just, based on what you said, Ed, about CNN, keep in mind here, when these stories like this happen, this will be a 2-day news story, all right, 24, 48 hours and it'll be done with. But had this been, had this detonated correctly, as Ed said, CNN reported it would be, quote, catastrophic. So it would be a major death toll. In New York City at Times Square. And, of course, a month ago, 6 weeks ago, we had the Muslim man mowing down the people on the street.
On the bike path?
Yeah, in New York City.
Yeah. You know, and again, what's frustrating is, and of course we've come to live with it, is the media, the liberal media never never, or rarely, I should say rarely, there's very little, if any, focus at all on why these people, like this guy today, mm-hmm. why did he do this? They'll just call him a terrorist or an ISIS connected so-and-so. You know, you would have thought with the man mowing down the people in the truck, how many people died that day, by the way?
I believe it was eight.
In New York.
And it was, tourists were from Argentina.
Argentina, yeah. I think.
But he was a Muslim male in his 20s, I think, just like this fella today. you would think that the media would say, what is the ideology behind these attacks? They don't make any sense. Or at least we need to understand what the meaning for. As I said, if this would have been a skinhead from Idaho, a white skinhead from Idaho, you talk about all over it, all over the ideology and exposing
it. And the media would spend a week having experts on how to stamp out this ideology.
Right.
And then connecting the ideology to all the Christian conservative groups.
Yeah, no, that's how it would work.
They both agree. They both have the same view on this particular issue, so
right.
They're all linked.
Yeah.
But with the young Muslim males, they go, we don't know. We can't figure it out. Mm-hmm.
And to Walker's point, well, he's a lone wolf, which means we don't have to explore any further.
Then he's crazy.
Any wider discussion of the ideology that links so many other people together.
Right. Do you think this helps President Trump, Fred, in terms of his wanting to vet or have the temporary travel ban that he's promoted and be really more cautious about letting people into this country? Do you think this helps him when these kinds of things happen?
You know what? It helps him. Well, I mean, it verifies for the vast majority of Americans who live between New York and California, the so-called deplorables. You know, we understand reality. We understand it's Islamic terrorism. By the way, in the news conference this morning, Mayor Bill de Blasio and Police Commissioner James P. O'Neill never mentioned the word Islam. Mm-hmm. No surprise
there. Did they mention jihad?
No. No, they don't mention those words.
They not just even said, jihad.
You know, right. New Yorkers will go about their business. Well, I'd like to talk to the New Yorker on the street today. How do you feel about the last two attacks in your city? Does it make you nervous?
Yeah.
The only reason people can, quote, go about their business is if that's what the mayor and the governor are saying, is because the bomb didn't detonate.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Don't act like this is just a...
Well, and what choice do you have? I mean, we've seen this before with the Israelis. If this is going to become a part of our lives in the big cities of America,
it will be.
Then what choice do you have? Everyone can't stay at home,
right?
People still have to go to work, and they either pray or they cross their fingers or whatever they do.
Yeah,
and hope it doesn't happen when they're in Times Square.
Yeah. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Ed Walker and Fred. We've talked about this before, but A question I'll throw to the panel here. Why don't you think, Ed, that the news media, the vast majority of the news media and the politicians, both Republican and Democrat, why don't you think why do they feel scared to talk about this when it's obvious? I mean, what we've talked about here, nobody's... we're talking about Islamic jihad. President Trump did. He talked about Islamic terrorism, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what he calls it?
Yeah.
Why are these folks unwilling? President Obama he can't even utter the words. Why do you think they're unwilling to admit that there's a religious ideology behind, even if they want to say it's perverted? It perverts the religion. Why do you think that?
I think there's at least a couple reasons come to mind. First of all, this is an outgrowth of political correctness, which has taken over the left and the media. Is you always have to give deference when it comes to issues of political correctness. So you have to be careful not to say every Muslim is a terrorist. We don't want to insult entire identity groups. And then the second reason would be because everyone knows the real problem in America are Christians. That's the real threat to America. I think probably most progressives would say that if they were didn't think they were being recorded in a conversation. They would say, I think the real threat to our country are Christians. Therefore, I'm not going to make a big deal about a few, you know, crazy people who happen to be Muslims when the real problem is Christians. I mean, that's right. I can't prove that.
I think there's just a real strong spiritual aspect to this, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. You know, when we look at what's happening on university campuses, how Christian pro-life groups are attacked, they're not given the same venues to speak. The degree of anti-Semitism, we're doing stories on this every week, anti-Semitism on our campuses. There was another professor, was it at Rutgers, who was disciplined this week for issuing open anti-Semitism. So it's Christians and Jews, when they're targets, you know, the mainstream media by Islamic people, the word Islam doesn't come into it. If you had, let's stop and think for a moment. When's the last time there was a Jewish terrorist attack?
Right.
I'm talking about a Jewish person who carried out a terror. When's the last time a Christian carried out a terrorist attack? Those are the facts. This is not happening. Okay. So the only way you can explain the way the media covers it, this is a spiritual thing. This is spiritual warfare. They hate Christians. They hate the Jewish people. But they're okay with Islam, with what it does.
You know, if you had a I mentioned this analogy before, but I think it works. If you had an attack, well, what happened in Charlottesville, Virginia, you know, over the summer? They had the rally there with 200 people.
It was between 200 and 300 people.
Between 200 and 300 people who were there, some of whom were there to who were white supremacists, and then some of whom were there, I guess, to say they didn't want the statue of Robert E. Lee taken down from that park. But anyway, let's just say that they were white supremacists, right? I don't know. I wasn't there, but that's who. All right, so the media has no problem identifying this little tiny group of people, and they call them white supremacists, right?
Right.
Or white nationalists. All right. Then if you apply the same standard that they apply to Islamic terrorism or Islamic jihad, the media, then you are unfairly castigating millions of white people who don't share the beliefs of the white nationalists or the white supremacists. You following me here?
Right.
why don't the media be more cautious about that? Why don't they just say supremacist or nationalist? Or why don't they just say Islamic supremacist when describing people like this fella today who tried to kill... It tries to kill hundreds of thousands of people in Times Square. Why don't they identify him as an Islamic supremacist?
Which is the ideology behind jihadists.
Precisely.
It is Islamist. Right.
Precisely.
Yeah.
So you have almost what the white supremacist in this country, where are they strapping? Where are they doing? They had one little rally in Charlottesville, and the liberal media acts like the country's.
And to your point, they didn't couch their coverage by saying, now these are white nationalists and white supremacists, but we want to make sure we say that not all people, in fact, the vast majority of white people are not white nationalists or white supremacists. They don't bend over backwards to make that. Well, because I think that they are protective of Muslims and feel free
Christians. To smear white people?
Well, I think, yeah, I don't know. I think that they kind of bought into the white privilege, you know.
Walker, go ahead.
Interpretation of life.
Yeah, to get back to this terrorist attack, there's a couple of things that I want to mention. A couple years ago in 2013, the NYPD, New York Police Department, had been practicing what they call stop and frisk. Which the former mayor Giuliani, Rudy Giuliani, said worked. He provided terror attacks or potential terror attacks that they stopped and crimes that they prevented because of stop and frisk. But guess what? A federal judge intervened and told NYPD that they could no longer do stop and frisk. I'm looking at the guy, the terrorist, who tried to blow up the port, the subway in New York. If I'm a police officer, he's wearing a heavy jacket, cargo-style pants, and he's got bombs under his shirt, and he's got the Muslim beard, the jihadi beard. I'm stopping and frisking him before he ever goes in the subway station. But the federal judges have stepped in, and we can't do that anymore. Secondly, if he turns out to not be a U.S. citizen, and he's here on some kind of visa, which I don't know, if he's a U.S. citizen, then he's protected under the Constitution and all the due process. But if he's a Bangladesh descent and he's not a U.S. citizen, then he needs to go to Gitmo. He needs to go to Gitmo, and he doesn't deserve an attorney. And and anyone who's being investigated for terrorism in the U.S. and they're not a U.S. citizen, send them back to where they came from. Don't even run the risk.
Yeah.
Send them back to where they came from.
I'm afraid this is going to be a way of life for us here in America now, these kinds of attacks. Well, they've been going on every couple, 3 months for a while now, right? Chattanooga. Did the FBI ever find out what the motive was for the Islamic terrorist attack on our military recruiting station in Chattanooga? Remember, they could never find a motive.
Yeah, I don't know. And
My tongue in cheek. I'm just stressing all this because this is so blatantly politically correct. It hurts you eventually if you're not able to call something what it is.
Can I?
Yes, go ahead.
Go back to the investigation of the massacre at Fort Hood.
Okay, that's right.
Go back to that.
Okay, that's exactly.
They knew Major Hassan.
Right.
They knew he was talking to terrorists in the Middle East.
Right.
He was spouting off at work,
and the U.S. military did nothing. This went back to the Bush years. This was prior to Barack Obama.
Right.
The cancer of political correctness, they know it's there, and they're willing to jeopardize the innocent lives of Americans just because we don't want to offend Islam.
That was the instance, too, wasn't it, when the government report was finally issued? They wouldn't call it.
Workplace violence.
They called it workplace violence. They wouldn't call it an act of jihad.
Oh, it took 2 years, I think, for Barack Obama to finally admit it was a terrorist attack.
Yeah.
That's just terrorist attack.
2 years.
Terrorist attack. He wouldn't mention Islamic terrorist attack and motivation. Yeah.
But called it workplace violence.
But think about that for a second.
Just like the one out in California. Remember the guy?
San Bernardino?
In the case of New York this morning, they might say we didn't know about this guy, but they knew about Major Hassan.
Right.
And they said, no, we're not going to do anything.
It's
going to
come out that they knew about this guy. He was on the radar.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You don't come out in 5 minutes and say he was ISIS connected. And you know his name, where he's from, what neighborhood he lives in. That stuff usually takes an hour or two.
Yeah.
They knew it all.
All right, so we're going to move on to another topic when we get back from the break. Of course, the senatorial election tomorrow is in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And we got some wild polling differences. We're going to talk about that. When we get back. And I know that the people of Alabama will be back, glad when tomorrow's...
When it's over?
When it's over. They probably... We don't know. But people who don't live in Alabama, all the commercials they've had to...
Endure,
to do and all the talk and everything like that. But tomorrow they will vote, and he will either select Republican Roy Moore or Democrat Doug Jones to be the next senator to replace Jeff Sessions. We'll talk about that and more when we get back from the break.
On the next Today's Issues, our guest will be Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Methinks it might have something to do with what happened last week. And to take us back into last week, the announcement the president made on moving our embassy to the capital of Israel, which is Jerusalem.
And we'll look at news, including the special election in Alabama. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
This Christmas, give the gift of laughter with books by J.J. Jasper and support AFR at the same time. Both Moses Was a Basket Case and Jonah Had a Whale of a Time are available now at afastore.net. These books are full of short stories and the kind of humor you love from AFR morning man J.J. Jasper.
True stories like babysitting using a dump truck, flying with the hurricane hunters, hitchhiking stories. You can't make this stuff up.
You'll laugh out loud as you fly along with private pilot J.J. and his instructor, who assumed a little too much about his student.
Oh, sure, it's funny now, but at the time, I thought I was going to die.
Order Moses Was a Basket Case and Jonah Had a Whale of a Time by J.J. Jasper at afastore.net. Order by December 12th for delivery by Christmas. At just $10 each, these books make great stocking stuffers. Order now at afastore.net or call 877-927-4917.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Starnes from Fox News, and one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu. The college at Brockport in New York is urging holiday decorators to deck their halls and don their gay apparel with cultural sensitivity. The Office of Diversity and Inclusion, which is typically neither diverse nor inclusive, posted a long list of suggestions designed to take the Christ out of Christmas. They say the holiday season should be an opportunity to demonstrate cultural sensitivity and inclusivity. The college recommends using decorations that are non-specific to any religion. However, they don't have a problem with decorations from non-Christian cultural traditions. In other words, the college at Brockport wants you to toss the nativity scene and drape a burqa over the Christmas tree. I'm afraid the Starnes family Yuletide party would definitely trigger the social justice snowflakes in Brockport. That's because we believe Jesus is the reason for the season, and we celebrate accordingly. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments at afr.net. Merry Christmas from Today's Issues.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters?
Welcome back to Today's Issues. That's from Ed and my Christmas album right there. I did the arrangement. Ed wrote the lyrics.
Yeah.
Buddy Green and Mark Lowry get a lot of credit for that. And we don't talk about it much here. But
we're not bitter.
They outright stole it from us.
Cough. Huh? Do we get credit? Huh? Do we get royalties?
You know, No, but we've moved on.
Yeah.
We forgave them.
I have. I forgive them. I'm not taking them to court over this.
We forgive them, move on, and Ed and I have other hits to come later. All right, Walker and Ed and Tim and Fred, we are talking, this is the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Walker, Today's Issues Facebook page, what have you posted there, sir?
Yes, I posted a One News Now article about the terrorist attack in New York City this morning. I also posted a Fox News article, which explains a little bit all the information that we know at this point about the terrorist, his name.
The jihadi.
Yeah,
just call him a jihadi. Yeah.
The jihadi. So you can go to Today's Issues page and read more information about what's going on in New York City today.
Now, are we absolutely certain that he was a jihadi? We're 99% certain.
He told the police he...
He identified with ISIS?
Yes.
He's 100%.
Yeah.
He's an Islamic jihadi terrorist.
Right.
Okay. All right, now tomorrow in Alabama, maybe you heard about this story out there, folks.
What's that?
Well, it's a story about Judge Roy Moore and the Senate race in Alabama. Have you heard anything
you mean
about
the
that?
The guy who used to play James Bond?
Roy Moore? No, I think that was
Roger Moore.
Roger Moore.
You know, I haven't heard anything about this. Roy Moore is running for Senate?
Yes, he is running for Senate.
I hadn't heard a first thing about it, Tim.
they'll vote tomorrow. Our sarcasm meter is just...
I hope people are picking up on that.
It's what, bing, 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 here on the program today. Anyway, the race will be decided tomorrow as people of Alabama go to elect one of two candidates, or Roy Moore or Doug Jones. And now, Fred, tell us the latest there.
Well, this morning, Roy Moore was interviewed on Sandy Rios in the morning, and I just want to mention, I checked with Sandy's producer, and the invitation went to Doug Jones, the Democrat running, and he turned it down. It was mentioned in the invitation that they would be talking about the abortion issue, and maybe that had something to do with Doug Jones not coming on. But Roy Moore was on this morning talking about various issues. Sandy questioned him on the campaign. It's been a bitter campaign. But I just want to play you a short excerpt from that interview this morning. And he's talking about how his staff wanted to deal with the issues, but they were forced to deal with all the allegations that were placed against Roy Moore from various people with regards to the allegations about what he did when he was a young man and allegations that he had.
Well, he wasn't young. He was 31.
He was 31, but many years ago, 40 years ago.
Right.
And, the allegation is that he dated teenagers.
Right.
All right, so what he's saying in this clip, and listen to this, folks, very carefully, because there's an interesting piece of information that he gives us, Roy Moore. This is Roy Moore on Sandy Rios in the morning this morning.
They're having to deal with all this false things out in the Washington Post. And as you pointed out, just last week, a new article came out that said the next Jeb Bush staffer admitted to planning the anti-Roy Moore story in the Washington Post. So we know this is coming out of Washington.
Did you hear that?
I had not heard that before.
I had not heard Roy Moore say that before, that he has information that an ex-Jeb Bush staffer was, up in Washington, handing the Washington Post information or allegations coming from an ex-Jeb Bush worker. I had not heard that before.
Well, maybe letting them know, listen, there's... here's something you need to follow up on. Because then the Washington Post sent a bunch of reporters down to Alabama.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. I was looking at over the weekend, somebody sent me the latest polls, Alabama. By polls, I mean there were multiple polls. Like, I looked the Real Clear Politics, and I think they had like 8 polls. And Roy Moore led anywhere from 3 to 7 percentage points among likely, I think it was among likely voters. And there was one poll, Washington Post, where Doug Jones led by 3, I believe. So, and now, this morning, there's a poll out by Fox News that says Doug Jones is up in the polling 50% to 40% over Judge Roy Moore. That seems like a wide variance with the other polls I've seen. But they're saying this is among likely voters. So, who knows? What's going to happen? Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? But I mean, if this is not true, then Fox News is going to have to go back
and
tomorrow and figure out why their poll is so much different than everybody else's. Isn't that what you've seen, Walker? That Moore leads Jones anywhere from 3 to 6 or 7%,
with the exception of the Washington Post poll.
Yeah, poll. Yes,
which they almost have to.
Oh yeah, they got to stick with their story.
Yeah.
The last 5 out of 6 polls pre-Fox News poll this morning showed Judge Moore up a minimum of 4 points. The rest were 6, 7, 5, and 9, all these. And these are very reputable polls. So Washington Post, of course, their poll shows Jones up. But it has to because they endorsed him. Mm-hmm. And then the Fox News poll, that's embarrassing. Fox should have, when Fox saw the results of this poll last night, internally, they should have said, we're just not going to use it.
Something's not right.
Tomorrow, I project that Judge Moore wins by 8 to 10 points. Because we remember in 2016 how bad the polls were off. Mm-hmm. In all the swing states, Trump was down 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 points, and he won those states. So this is embarrassing for Fox, and they're going to need an answer for this tomorrow. But one thing they didn't release is every time you do these polls, you don't poll necessarily a random sample of voters. You have to pull a certain amount of Democrats and a certain amount of Republicans, registered Democrats and registered Republicans. But what Fox did not release in this poll is what number of Democrats and what number of Republicans they pulled from. Mm-hmm. Typically, the best procedure is to pull from the last election, the latest election, which would be 2016. What percentage of registered Republicans showed up and voted in the presidential election, and what percentage of registered Democrats showed up in Alabama and voted for the presidential election? But Fox did not release that, and I would almost bet because their numbers are off. Mm-hmm. They probably did a 50-50 sample.
And that's what's called weighting. Weight, W-E-I-G-H-T, is weighting a poll, because even though you do random samples, you call people up, you can, by accident, get like all Republicans.
Right.
And so then your poll is going to be skewed. So like you said, Walker, what they do is they say, all right, we want a random poll, but we are going to weight the poll. We're going to use X number of Republicans, X number of Democrats in line with the voting pattern so we can get a representative sample of who actually goes and votes. So
right.
They try to do that, but now sometimes these polls will weight them in terms of what they expect the turnout to be. And
right.
And so, you know, it can skew the poll results.
Mm-hmm. I think it's worthwhile to review for just a moment. I don't want to rehash everything that's been said and reported on the last month or so with the situation in Alabama. But I get tired of the news media, even some in the conservative news media, saying things that just aren't true, or throwing wild prefaces out about Roy Moore without having any more. Here's the kind of scenario that usually goes on. Roy Moore facing allegations from at least 9 women.
Right.
Yada, yada, yada. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then you go, my word, 8, 9, my word, this guy. Okay, but just to review, okay, you have Judge Moore in his 30, 31 years old, and he dated teenagers. Okay? That's not a crime. And by the way, back in the 70s in Alabama, and other parts of the country, too, is not uncommon for older men. By older men, I mean 30, to date a 19, 18-year-old, whatever. That was not uncommon. But I want to say, and nor is it illegal. So if you want to fault the judge for dating, for that scenario, and say, well, that's robbing the cradle, go for it.
Right.
You know, that's a matter of opinion. But the things that he was accused of criminally would have been, a girl said when she was 14, she snuck out of her house and went to his house with him, and there they made out.
Well,
basically,
she says he touched her.
Yeah, okay. So. But they didn't even. She said they didn't have intercourse, right, or anything like that. I hate to be sordid with this, and I don't mean to get, but I'm just trying to, because these liberal media and some of the conservative media, they just throw this stuff out without any explanation. Now, that story right there, that woman went on the Today Show, who said this happened to her when she was 14.
Right.
You can't verify this. The judge rejects it and says it's not true. So either you have to believe her, mm-hmm, you have to believe her, or you believe him. Okay, either you believe her, she said this happened when she was 14. She snuck out of her house and met him a couple times. There's some holes in her story. But either you believe her or you believe him, right?
Right.
That's
okay.
Correct.
And then you had the woman who said she worked at the old Hickory.
Was that Beverly Nelson?
She had her story, which now she said she doctored the inscription in the yearbook. Remember, Gloria Allred's connected with her. You have people who worked with her or worked at the same place she worked at who said who have shot holes in her story. Am I right?
Yeah, even though in the Washington Post, if I'm not mistaken, the original Washington Post story, didn't it say that all of the which what Beverly Nelson was claiming was Roy Moore's was all how did they put it consistent with a single person's handwriting?
Yes,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
that's what they said. They had their own expert look at it. This is all consistent with a single person's handwriting. In other words, all of that's Roy Moore. Now, of course, Beverly Nelson is saying.
And you had a third woman who says when Roy Moore was representing her as an attorney that he inappropriately touched her one time.
Right.
Okay, so those are the three things from 40 years ago that we are supposed to look back now and go, well, we can make a judgment on whether that happened or not 40 years ago. Okay, so he's been, for those things I just mentioned, he's been called a predator. All right. Predators don't change. They get caught. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think generally speaking.
Generally speaking.
They get continue. Caught.
They continue
and
in
they
their
get
ways.
Worse.
Right. They said he was banned from the mall. He wasn't banned from the mall in Gadsden. Was not banned from the mall in Gadsden. And so they keep, they say pedophile. Pedophilia is relations with someone who's pre-puberty.
Right.
Okay. So they throw child molester. You'll hear this.
Child predator.
Even if you have a problem with him dating a 16-year-old, that's not a child predator. That's in my view. That's not a child molester.
Yeah,
it's not a pedophile.
To me, that is creepy.
They do that to
but not illegal.
Right.
Yeah.
But they do that to confuse the issue. Right.
Well, so, it's a smear. If you say someone is a child predator, that elicits certain things. Now, obviously, if he had done with the 14-year-old what she says he had done, that to me would make you a predator. That's a crime to touch a 14-year-old. But
does the statute of limitations, by the way, run out after 40 years, 38 years?
I'm not sure. It varies from state to state.
But you know. The thing that has bothered me the most in all of this.
Let me, one other thought, and then I'll let you have the rest talk. So we have now Richard Shelby, the sitting senator from Alabama, Republican, who says yesterday that he didn't vote. I guess he's already voted for Roy Moore.
That's right.
He says he voted for an establishment Republican.
A write-in. A write-in candidate.
He wrote it in.
Yeah.
And that he said that it's been drip, drip, drip with Judge Moore, and the 14-year-old story is what convinced him not to vote for the judge. When I was reading that from Senator Shelby, it's almost as if he hadn't been following the story very closely, because that 14-year-old, you know, there are holes in her. You know what I'm saying? It's like he doesn't even. Anyway, I guess he believes her.
Yeah, he said that, quote, there's, quote, a lot of smoke. There's got to be some fire somewhere. And he said, I think so many accusations, so many cuts, so many drip, drip, drip. When it got to the 14-year-old's story, that was enough for me. I said, I can't vote for Roy Moore.
Because, so he believes that, Roy Moore molested a 14-year-old girl.
Right.
That's what he believes, based on the woman's story.
Right.
Okay. So where there's smoke, there's fire, is what he's saying.
Yes.
Yeah. So, anyway, go ahead, Fred.
The thing that has bothered me the most from the very beginning of all of this, Roy Moore has been a high-profile public figure in Alabama and nationally for years.
Mm-hmm.
Years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We didn't know anything about these allegations until about a month and a half, 2 months ago. It is hard. Just from a person who doesn't live in Alabama, not going to vote in Alabama, but just looking at this, over 40 years of public service, he is an extremely well-known individual.
Statewide campaigns. For
Statewide campaigns, controversies over 10
and
commandments.
And he has his enemy list. He has his enemies in Alabama, too, and has had.
Nothing about these allegations made public for 40 years? And all of a sudden, everything happens.
Right.
It's just, it doesn't meet the integrity test. There's something else going on here. And I think it goes directly, a lot of it has to do with the media, let's face it. And to that point, this morning, NPR had Penny Nance on. She's the head of Concerned Women for America. And she's a Roy Moore supporter. And by the way, I had not heard this before. She has been sexually assaulted in her life, Penny Nance. She talked about that this morning. She's sensitive to these things. But she was interviewed this morning, and she got into the point about Doug Jones, the Democrat in this, who is pro-abortion to the 100th degree.
Yeah, hardly anyone's even talking about Doug Jones.
No. All the focus has been on. But listen to how the NPR host, Steve Inskeep, interrupted her when she started to talk about where Doug Jones stands on the abortion issue.
What the people of Alabama are troubled by is the fact that Doug Jones supports abortion, even late-term abortion, that requires dismemberment of a baby.
Well, let me just stop you there. I'm sure that Doug Jones would describe it differently, but we'll just note there's been a lot of discussion about abortion for sure. But let's just focus here for a moment on sexual harassment. This clearly is an issue that troubles you.
So there, she starts talking about where Doug Jones stands on the abortion, and the host of NPR comes in to defend Doug Jones.
Yeah.
Now, there is an indication of where the media has been in covering this story. I mean, it continued Friday night. President Trump is down in Pensacola. There's a pile of people from Alabama there.
Yeah.
Then the Washington Post reporter takes a picture of the arena long before the event begins and puts it out there saying, sparse crowd.
Yeah,
at the rally. When that rally was packed, they had to turn people away.
Yeah.
The Washington Post reporter ends up, oh, I'm sorry I did that.
Yeah.
But this is the hatred of the media, which goes to the discrediting of all of these stories and the attention about the allegations.
Mm-hmm. You know, to your point, Fred, talking about 38 years later, nearly four decades later, and the judge has been high profile for a long time, and a few weeks before a senatorial election, the Washington Post, not the Birmingham News,
right,
not the Montgomery Advertiser, the Washington Post sends some reporters down and you know, digs up a few stories quoting some women who, and you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's just... the natural, if this were flipped over and it was a Democrat and a Republican, these kinds of stories had come out on a Democrat, the whole liberal news media, everybody was saying, oh, this is too suspicious.
Dirty politics. Well, you know, the second accuser, the one who had the Gloria Allred, the big press conference, Beverly Nelson, her story is almost completely unraveled.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost completely unraveled. I mean, to the point where people who actually went to the restaurant, you know, people who worked at the restaurant said, we never saw Roy Moore there. Beverly Nelson said that he drove her behind the restaurant. They said there's no room back there for someone to park. Beverly Nelson said he parked the vehicle between the building and the
dumpster.
They said it was not, she said, in the back. He said it was never in the back. There's no room in the back. It was on the side. It was always against the building. Her story's completely unraveled now to the point where she has finally admitted that she added some things to this alleged signature by Roy Moore.
Yearbook signature.
We kept saying right after this press conference, surely if this story is true, other people will come forward. We're 3 weeks down the road now. Other people will come forward and say, yeah, I went to the Old Hickory restaurant all the time. Roy Moore was always there. In other words, to corroborate the story, Beverly Nelson said that this happened when the restaurant closed at 10. It never closed at 10. In fact, they had a factory nearby where everyone came after their shift was over at 10 o'clock to eat. So her story is completely unraveled, and that has also cast suspicion on the 14-year-old, the alleged 14-year-old story, which also has some holes in it. Mm-hmm. So is 40 years
ago. But see,
ago,
you don't hear about the holes in. You don't hear about the holes in the story. You hear Richard Shelby saying, "Yeah,
where there's smoke, there's fire."
The 14-year-old story just was too much for me. Well, yeah, it would be too much for all of us, Senator, if it were true.
And I'll just say one other thing, because I get a little riled up about this, because you're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty, and now, if you're a conservative, you're innocent until accused. But I can't remember. I was all charged up.
You're right. You're right. But I'm just saying that, you know, these accusations are being thrown around. They'll come up with, they'll say wild, outlandish things.
Yeah.
Like multiple, like nine women have now accused. Well, and then you read it and you go, yeah, he came up to the counter when I was working at Sears, and my girlfriend said, the girl I was working with said, here he came, and there's Roy again. Huh.
Yeah.
So he flirted with, I mean, I'm just saying, is that a crime worth saying? Is that counted in the multiple women who accused?
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
They're just throwing a lot of information around. You're listening to today's issues, but tomorrow we'll quit talking about this one way or another by tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. Now, Walker, you and I are going to be here. We're going to have a 30-minute special, right?
Yes, that's right. Tomorrow night, Tuesday night, December 12th, from 9 p.m. Central to 9:30 Central, 30 minutes segment of election coverage. We're going to cover the election. Hopefully by 9 p.m. Central, we'll have the results from Alabama. And the reason we're going to cover this is because it has national implications. It has national implications as to what we can look to in 2018, what those results might be. So we'll cover it from 9 p.m. to 9:30 Central here on American Family Radio.
Plus, it would be for the Republicans in the Senate.
Yeah.
You replace Jeff Sessions with Democrat Doug Jones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you have two liberal Republicans. Mm-hmm. From Maine and Alaska, Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski. Now you have the Republican majority, a slim majority, now jeopardized. Mm. So it does have national implications.
Doug Jones, is he basically Bernie Sanders of the South in his views?
I think he's very, very, very liberal. I don't know if he identifies as a socialist, but most...
He's very, very liberal.
Yeah.
He said human rights begin after birth, after 9 months. You have to be birthed before you have protection.
That's what Penny Nance was talking about right there. Mm-hmm. Right, so here's a guy. Well, Alabama's a very pro-life state, and you're telling me here's a guy who believes in abortion up to 9 months?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's why the Washington Post conveniently found this story, fabricated this story a month before the election, because if you talk about the issues of the two candidates
and where they
from a fact standpoint, it's a turnoff. For the people of Alabama, they're going to vote for Roy Moore by 15 points.
Right.
But we can't talk about the Democrat stances because the American people don't like the stances that the Democrats take.
Right.
So let's shift and falsely accuse Roy Moore of some things. Mm-hmm. Then maybe we'll elect Doug Jones into the U.S. Senate. But I don't think that's going to work.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens tomorrow. It'll all be decided one way or another. And remember, this is a special election.
Yes.
So whoever wins, Roy Moore or Doug Jones, will have to face a re-election. I don't know when that will come up, but it will be a shortened six-year term, whatever the case
may be. Would it be 2020?
Is that when it is?
Would it be? I don't know. I'm just sure. Asking. Mm-hmm.
I am not sure about that, but so innocent until proven, guilty until proven innocent?
Innocent until accused.
Yeah.
I know what I was going to say. People say, why would these girls lie? Well, why would Tawana Brawley lie? Why would the woman lie about the
Duke lacrosse team?
So I'm not saying they're lying. I'm not saying they're not lying. But you can't just say, well, why would they lie? Because that has happened. False accusations.
I'll say Beverly Nelson lied. I don't know about the other ones, but I know Beverly Nelson lied. And so did Gloria Allred.
About the yearbook?
Yeah.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We're going to take a break for news. And Fred, thank you for your
good to be here
contributions to this hour. And we'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us, folks.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.